This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Nateland Podcasts with Aaron Weber. Brian.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be back. We're living it up. We've had a, you know, had a good, I don't know. I feel like we've had a break.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks, right?
Yeah. A
couple weeks.
Yeah. Couple. I guess not too crazy.
You were on the road at Appleton.
In Appleton. Yeah. It was a great time. Appleton, Wisconsin. Did a whole new hour.
Wow.
Yeah. So if people are coming to shows, I'm not saying it's all great, and I'm not saying that I'm always going to be. I think it was like 50, 55. And the couple shows I did, a couple jokes from the special. So it's, but we're at least, I feel like we got a solid, got a pretty good 20 to 25, pretty good. And then the rest is nonsense. Just absolute nonsense. Before we get started, too, I want to give a quick shout out to Brett. Brett's a buddy of ours, and he's at St. Jude, and he's doing really good. Big fan of the podcast. Doesn't like one of y'all. Well, I won't say which one. Brett privately told me. but we're with you, Brett, and keep staying strong, buddy. Yeah, let's get... You know, we're getting into it, I guess. Do we have, like, people quitting stuff? Did you have any of that, or no?
Well, I mean, that list I gave you had a bunch more on it.
So, I'm changing my quitting. yeah. I'll go ahead and... So, it's... What I've realized, soda's coming back in my life. I'm just belling.
Starting now.
I quit drinking soda. I did it for... whatever it was, 2 weeks special. I mean, I think I gained weight. I was hoping that it would be this trigger that would stop me from eating nonsense. Yeah. And then I've just learned I can still eat pancakes with orange juice and I'm fine. So going a little bit harder, and gonna stop sugar starting today.
Wow.
Is when's the day this podcast is out. Sugar. That's the key to my life, I think. And it's sugar, so soda's gonna come back because I'm gonna snap on everybody if I don't have something.
Yeah,
I'm gonna lose my mind. And I don't drink as much soda as I might lead on to. Laura buys little 12-ounce things. I don't always even finish them. I can kind of stay off of it. If I go out to eat, I can sometimes probably do a few more refills than I should. But I'm not. I don't think soda, and I'll drink water.
But doesn't soda have sugar?
Diet. I drink diet. It's a diet, yeah. Isn't it? If I was like, God, it ruins everything. You know what? Changing it again. Hello. I'm not saying soda's great for you. Diet soda's great for you, but I gotta have something, dude. I don't have any, like, getting rid of all this stuff. But my problem is, as you can see back there, the Sour Patch Kids, like that kind of stuff. Ice cream. I mean, ice cream every night. Every night. Sour Patch Kids, candy. It's a nightmare. Sauces. I'm a big sauce, like, I mean, just throwing just full on stuff. So with sugar, what I was told is I think I can eat like a sandwich, like bread. I'm not really completely counting yet. I will hopefully get to it. But I mean, if I eat a sandwich, It's like if I make a sandwich at home, and I can have, I gotta have mustard on it, or I can't have, you know, mayonnaise or loaded up with a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
That's what will the can do the candy alone. So we will see. I'm gonna try it for. Let's do it for 2 weeks and we'll see where we're at, and I'll see if I change it again. But I'm hoping to. I think it'll be good. I mean, that gets rid of, you know, McDonald's. I can't because it's like ketchup and stuff like that. You know, so I'm hoping that something's got to give. Yeah. I didn't feel bloated after drinking diet, so quitting that.
You inspired a lot of people when you announced you were quitting. So,
well, I'm still quitting something harder.
Yeah.
So that's stepping it up a notch.
Yeah.
Sugar is very hard.
It's not like you changed it to something easier. You went the exact opposite.
I mean, we have a packet of Sour Patch Kids back there from Kevin, our buddy Kevin. So that's where we're at. So let's see what happens. All right. Barfy Man 362. Hello, folks, is now our secret word to recognize other Natelanders in the wild. Just shout it out.
Yeah.
And they come out of the woodwork. We hope so. Like, what'd you say?
Yell it at an airport and just see if anybody.
Hello, folks. It's a little bit nicer to yell than bomb. Is hello, folks. You know, either one, people will come out.
That's right.
No matter what, if you yell hello, folks, or bomb, you're going to get some attention. Kent Scroggins. Almost 6 months ago, I was sitting in a hospital room with my wife and a newborn son, listening to the animals episode and laughing uncontrollably at the penguin debate. Fast forward to now, we are back in the hospital for my six-month-old son, having lots of tests done on his heart. We have been here a couple of days and have truly been waiting for the Wednesday morning drop of the latest Nateland episode to take my mind off everything going on. It's just what I needed. Thank you for the laughs. We love y'all so much. Well, we love you, buddy. And we'll be thinking about you, praying for your son. He'll get in there, get in and out quick, you know? He's got a strong heart. Kids got strong hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Anon 01010. That sounds like a robot. Love listening to the podcast. It's nice because it's interesting, but not too interesting. If I zone out mid-listen, I don't feel the need to rewind. And that's what we're about.
Yeah.
You know, I think as a podcast, we're not trying to get you to sit there and have to, you go, what'd they say? Rewind it.
Yeah.
We'll probably repeat it.
We don't zone. We zone out ourselves and we don't even start over.
I'll just kind of tap back in and be, oh man, where were we?
Wow.
Doesn't matter.
We're doing a podcast. I have never listened to an episode.
You ever watch a movie with somebody and then like they get up and you're like, do you want me to pause it? And they're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, that's kind of what this is. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just leave it running.
Major. No.
I'll fill in the holes pretty easy.
How long
are
we gone? I'm not sure. When they don't even give you, like, you're like, you should go in the bathroom, back in a couple of seconds. No, I might do some stuff, but it doesn't matter.
Just leave it going.
I bet I can catch up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Evan Hegel or Heigel or Hegel. Hello, folks. I submitted an email last week regarding a funny story involving my best friend that I'm trying to get to listen to this podcast. I got this reply. Great story. Thanks for sharing. Never in my life have I read a response that better screamed at me, we're not going to read your dumb comment on our show. The rejection itself was nicely worded, though, so I suppose I have a beanie baby to thank for that.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. We're getting hundreds of emails now. They're all so long, so boring. And
oh, wow.
I mean, I feel like I'm doing a nice gesture here by pretending like that was an interesting story and saying thanks. So
I mean, yeah, got it.
That's and another thing, everyone thinks that you're checking these emails for some reason. So everyone's emailing saying, Nate, your special was so awesome. They're just...
Yeah,
gushing about it, and they'll occasionally throw in broccoli. I wish you'd get rid of him.
Yeah,
and I have to reply like you. Thanks, man. That's so sweet.
Yeah,
I have to misspell on purpose and put commas in the wrong place just so they feel like they're getting a personal response from you.
Yeah, well now they know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like, you know, great story. Great story. Thanks for sharing. Sounds good. Appreciate you reaching out. Just get those responses. You get a ton of them. You go through them. And you read them all.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to do.
And I try to reply to them all, but yeah, sometimes you're just going to get great story. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, sometimes. That's cool, man.
But we will read your entire complaint about that on the podcast.
Yeah. If you want to get on, complain about my response.
Great story. Thanks for sharing is the equivalent of just rubbing a kid's head and walking off. Like, that's
good job, buddy.
That's all right.
Attaboy.
Get out there. All right. Matt Parrish. Man, this is about the con artist episode. Man, what a phenomenal episode. Gary had some great stories. It was great watching Nate, Aaron, and Barney just watch in awe and listen as Gary talked about his absolutely insane childhood. Yeah, I thought it was great too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was definitely something different. It was a different pod, you know, it wasn't just funny and silly, but his life is like kind of just kind of funny. Like, it's funny to be con dad. And even tell you what, guys, everybody, our listeners, it was a big help for him to, he's working on trying to make this either his own podcast, a book, a movie, something, because he's had a crazy story. So he's got to get practicing of describing and telling his story, which is weird. You have to learn how to talk about that.
Yeah.
If he's never really talked about it, never in detail, you know, we're asking questions. If he goes and pitches this show, they're going to ask questions. So it's interesting, and he gets to learn to tell it in an intriguing way. I've been using some bigger words.
Ooh.
Ian Renfro, this episode is a bit too insightful. I feel like I'm learning things and hearing opinions from someone with an actual firsthand knowledge of the topic. It's weird, and I don't like it. Let's get back to wild theories, minimal research, and baseless accusations. Well, we're getting back to it.
Oh, today's his day.
Today's his day. And, little fun fact, Gary doesn't have a dad. So, what if that was the whole big twist? Yeah. Turns out, Gary's dad, a banker. And a normal person. Yeah,
pretty good dude, actually.
Pretty good guy. He was here. He drove him, picked him up. Glenn Rudolph. So this has been the best episode thus far. Lots of meat. Lots of meat. Just one question, though. Is Brian trying to be a heel? I am sincerely asking. I cannot figure out his shtick. Brian, I think a lot of audiences want to know this, too. Go ahead, Brian.
I don't even know what that means. What is that, like a bad guy?
Yeah, it's like wrestling. Like a heel. Yeah. Like the guy.
Like the villain, kind of.
But
yeah.
Why would he? Is he mistaken you for me?
No,
I don't.
No. I think he's entertained by me, so he's asking, "What are you doing, Brian?"
Yeah, I'm the heel here.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was a heel. I thought I was a pretty nice guy, but
his wrestling move is the nose whistle, and he
PP pronoun.
He gets you a headlock and. Whistles in your nose, and you go, all right, you tap out.
No more. The refs are trying to pull me off of him, but I'm still whistling.
Your nose is just sticking out. Your hands are in just, look at him. And he goes, I can't do it.
It was a Rikishi that would just put his butt in your face.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that than my nose whistle.
Yeah. They have you guys two wrestle. Kind of a really the annoying match. The annoying, you win the annoying belt. Like, it's just a belt of annoyance.
What is my thing?
That you would do
as
a wrestling move.
Uh huh.
I mean,
why are you saying he's annoying?
No, I said the other guy with the butt on the face.
Oh, oh. They're talking about Aaron.
They're talking about me and Brian.
No. I think you would something with your body.
I'd go for his foot immediately.
I'm not trying to lead you down a path, but I would use your. Body to the.
I'd use what I get.
Yeah. I think you would try to. You would be like, what if I do this? Like I do. Like you do some kind of. And they're like, what if you just? That's what the butt guy. They're like, what if you just sit on his face? And you're like, I know, but I can like jump. You know. Yeah. So what if I climb on the top rope? And they go, I don't know, man. A lot of guys are climbing on the top rope. So what if you just sit down, your favorite activity, and it's on that guy's face? You ever think about that? And then you're like, yeah, all right, I guess I can. That had to be his conversation. I know, but I want to go high. I can get really high. Imagine this force laying on him. They go, I know, I hear you, but here to here, your force is a lot. And so just sit down on the guy.
Yeah.
Freezy Bird, like the Star Registry, you can buy 1 square foot of land in Scotland and then add Lord or Lady to your airline tickets. I think of that more of a gimmick than a scam. I did not know that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'd never heard that.
You just be Lord. Your ticket says Lord or Lady. I don't even know which one I would like. Lady's pretty.
Lady Bargatze?
Yeah.
Lady Nate?
Lady's a pretty, like, Lord, I know, is like, you're the Lord of a manor.
Yeah.
But the lady's a pretty good.
I don't know if you can choose.
Lady Bird?
Yeah, you can choose. Bird, you can get a ladyship pack or a lordship pack. It's $50.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all,
and you
man.
Get some land. You get a square foot of land.
Well, you have to buy the land, and then you have to own something in Scotland.
Do you have to mow it?
they plant a tree in your little one square foot of land.
Over, am I mowing? You got to mow. The fact that you'd buy this land for $50, and then you got to fly there to mow it.
You have to go take care of it, landscape.
You
got to
go take care of it, landscape it. Bing, get your weed eater. It's just like 1,000 guys going, all right, see you guys next month. All right, man, we're saying, and like, it's just real quick. Just, all right, can I leave mine? And then you talk to your neighbor and go, what if, how much would it cost me to pay you to do just a little more of a swipe and get.
Push it a little bit more. A
little bit farther, hit me, come back. I'll buy you your land if you mow my land. Frank Galina. Galina, I am a lawyer and was literally on my way to court when I heard Nate say he think he could bluff his way through being a lawyer. Before you try, make sure you learn what the statute of limitations is for impersonating a lawyer. What are
statute is the
statute.
Correct.
It's not a statue.
It's not a sculpture of
limitations. Yeah, I got a sculpture of limitations. It's a statue of Brian. Pretty good. All right.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm the heel. You're right, Glenn. That's right. My mistake. Yeah. I'll work on it.
The crowd goes crazy. That's pretty funny. That'd be a pretty funny thing to say to someone. I got a statue of limitations, and it's of you. It's a pretty good put down. You guys, he should use that as a lawyer as you go in there. Yeah, you know what? All right.
I'm the greatest below average American.
Middle aged episode. Rex Final. Final. Love how quickly this episode took a dark turn. 5 minutes in, and Nate's asking Brian when he thinks he'll be ready to die. Let him talk. Timothy Ewing. My great grandmother's 103, and she's been ready to die for most of the time I've known her. The joke started in her mid-90s, but now whenever someone walks in the room, she just yells, I'm ready to be done with this crap. God, that's so funny to be most of the time he's known her. Just, hey, how you doing? I'm your grandson, Timothy. Oh, God, another one. Timothy, I hoped we would never meet, but it looks like we are. I mean, good night, dude. I mean, Timothy's got to be.
Great-grandmother, so.
Yeah. I mean, 103, Timothy's got to be 20. I mean, what if he, mm-hmm. he could be old enough to have a kid.
Yeah.
What if he has a kid, and then she's like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Like, it's a joke. Nick Robertson, there has to be some comedy gold hidden in the Bates golf swing. I about fell out of my chair laughing, and by the time I calmed down, he was just finishing his follow-through. There is definitely comedy gold in that swing.
You see, they put the video in the podcast last week.
Gotta surprise me. Yeah,
they're right here.
On Aaron Land.
Yeah, you just talked about them like, you know, did you see, like, we ship it off to Scotland with our land, and that's where they edit it. Did you guys see that they've been filming us this whole time? Has anybody seen that? We've been doing this podcast on YouTube. Yes, that was very good that y'all put the golf swing in, because you got to see it. Even a person that doesn't golf, I think, would go, what's his foot doing?
Yeah. You compared it to a gymnast landing, and then they like collect themselves, and then they do it. That's exactly what it is.
And person's already kind of walked up there.
Yeah.
When his foot goes up, the other person's already putting their tee in the ground, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you were done. I guess I thought you were done. I liked it when my little fun joke I started doing is I like to, when someone watches their tee shot for a long time, like walk up there and then just be like, you got everything? Wallet, keys? What are you like? Because they're just, you're like, get out of the way.
Yeah.
You're watching this worm burner. Like, and you want to see it finish out? Don't worry, we'll walk by it. Lucas Vicroy, there's almost 14 minutes on court gestures and less than 90 seconds on the Crusades. If that tells you anything about this pod, that tells you a lot about this pod. I mean, that is Exactly right. You guys have learned about the Crusades long enough.
Right.
Court gestures.
Yeah, we spent 15 minutes on Roland the Farter, and then we were just like, and the Crusades happened.
Ugh. Yeah, well, that all seemed right. like a
court,
tough time.
Court what?
Court gestures. How do you say it? Gestures?
You got called out a lot for people. Jesters.
Jesters.
Yeah.
Gestures.
You've been saying gestures.
Like, I say like Chester. Like Chester drawers?
No, like.
You think that's who invented them? Court jester invented Chester drawers, and he goes, I'll just change it to CH, and then didn't even notice. We're going to sell Chester drawers on our website. What do you mean? Jester? It's not like I'm putting an H in there.
Yeah, you're saying it like, oh, that was a nice gesture.
Gesture.
But it's okay. Jester.
Jest her. Like just her.
Just her.
Just her?
Just her. Her
who's dad. In there? Just her. She's in there alone.
That's closer.
Court jester. Just her. The court so jester. I should say just her.
That's closer than gesture.
Court jester. That's better? Just her in court. Chris, I mean, yeah, those words I have trouble. Like when there's, you know.
Those words?
Like there's a collision of sounds right in the middle of them. I have a tough time, you know? When there's a car wreck of noise in the middle of a word, I have a bit of a trouble with it. Christina Gerard. I have laughed hysterically at every single episode, but my biggest laugh so far came from this episode when Nate said, I think we got a new Krispy Kreme challenge. I ugly laughed for so long that I think it was mainly the visual I had of the three of you doing it. Yeah, that's going to be our new one that we're going to go do.
A lot of people said I got the whistling part down.
I know. You got a leg up in this. Yeah. He's like, you're so talented, you don't have to even worry about the whistling part. He goes, but if you focus on the whistling part, he goes, no, I don't even. That's natural, dude. That's going to come out. It's the other stuff.
I just do my thing.
We ate Krispy Kreme to get ready for this challenge. Alan, there was no medieval. Oh, Alan is his name. That sounded like Alan, like I was telling him. Alan, let me tell you something, Alan. There was no medieval scribe called Xerox. Are you kidding me, Alan? Like, I'm telling him, I'm turning this comment around on him. Hey, Alan, guess what? There was no medieval scribe called Xerox. How do you feel about that?
Make him feel like he's the dummy.
Yeah. Your explanations of bouncer, red-handed, and don't shoot the messenger are also false. There are references to killing a messenger in the times of ancient Greece, but no evidence of a law being passed in the Middle Ages to stop it happening. The explanation of pay through the nose is disputed, but again, there's no evidence for nose cutting as a punishment. What you said about nest egg, sink or swim, and baker's dozen might be right, but baker's dozen is disputed.
He's basically saying everything I threw out was wrong.
We shouldn't have even done the episode.
I want to know, what's your source, Alan? This guy's dropping a lot of facts here.
He says it's called folk etymology. I didn't put that in there because, I mean.
So he's a folk etymologist?
Etymologist. Etymology, I could say that.
Oh. Yeah.
Some words are good. Some good, some words are bad.
But yeah, he's basically saying my information's incorrect.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
that's a shocker.
Well, maybe Alan should go edit some Wikipedia entries in his spare time.
Ooh, Aaron. A little more on that on Aaron Land. If you guys want to. This week, listen to Aaron and Caleb. Caleb's not here. Listen to Aaron.
Who's your guest this
Alan.
Week?
Well, it's just a solo pod this week.
Oh.
Just ranting.
Just, yeah.
Just me
breaks
going.
Breaks down the Alan comment on Aaron Land.
That'll actually be me going at Alan like you were doing earlier. Yeah. All right, Alan.
Alan comes in and defends himself on Aaron Laird.
Yeah,
we're
going
to roll. What's the thing? I always have to do that where you have to go, hey, everybody, you're watching. I'm Nate Bargatze. You're watching Nate Land Podcast. You have to do that. We have to do it for Aaron Land.
Like a little teaser.
What's up, everybody? Nate Bargatze. You're listening to Nate Land and Aaron Land. Go.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details. Tales.
All right. This week we're gonna see. This one could be.
This could go off the rails real quick.
Yeah. We're gonna dive into a little philosophy, right?
Yeah.
Philosophy, which is
exactly, dude.
Yeah. Your favorite thing.
No. Okay. Philosophy. Yeah. It's, I like it.
I found that a lot of stand-up comedians majored in philosophy in college. And there's even a class, philosophy of comedy, because they say comedy and philosophy are the two professions where the goal is to find the central truths in what it is to be human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you majored in philosophy.
That was the goal. I failed a class called Formal Logic. Failed it twice.
That sounds legit.
Yeah, it was a tough class.
Yeah.
I failed it twice, so I technically finished with a minor.
Oh, I didn't know that till right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm literally one credit short of a
major. So why don't you go get that credit?
I don't know if you can just tap back in and I think I'm out, you know?
They don't let you go back?
Like they go, I think maybe I can go. I don't know.
You're
how
stuck in the minors? You don't get to get up to the big leagues? That's what happens in college? Yeah,
somebody asked me about this recently. I don't know if you can just be like, hey, can I just tap back in real quick?
Was it your dad?
What? No, it wasn't.
That sounds like something your parents would have. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about if I should go to college and get a real job. Who was it? Oh, my mom and dad. And they...
Yeah. Maybe I could.
You guys
could
go back to school together.
I don't know how much that would change my life.
I got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I have zero credits.
You have a little more than one credit to get
before. I have zero. How many credits do you need to graduate?
A lot.
100?
I don't know.
No. But you just, maybe. But you just wanted to take a class just to have some experience, right?
I would take a class to have, you know, when do you go to school? Monday to Friday, right? And then, where I'm going, probably mine might be at night, you know.
This is after work.
Yeah. When you gotta go Monday to Friday. I want the real experience. Can you go take a class? Can you just hop into a college?
That's what I'm wondering. I think to re-enroll, but I just want to tap back in real quick, take one class and then tap.
But
out.
Don't athletes that go play pro and they're short.
You can do that.
They go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you already graduated.
Yeah, I've already graduated. I haven't.
So is the door shut because you graduated?
I don't know. I'll send an email.
Why don't they
teach
you that in college?
They probably
should.
This is probably something everybody knows except me.
Yeah, counselor maybe should have discussed that with
you. Yeah, yeah.
So you were going to, what would you have been if you majored in philosophy?
I have no idea. I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, I like it.
Yeah.
So,
but are there people whose sole profession is philosophy?
Yeah, you get into teaching, or you'd be a writer, or you'd go to law school. I mean, you can do stuff with it.
But no one just sits around thinking of wise quotes.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
you can work for a think tank or something, but I don't know if they want some dude in there. I had a professor who I saw on campus. And he would always ride his bike in a figure eight on the quad, and he'd smoke cigarettes and talk to himself. Mm. And I just remember I saw him, and I was like, oh, I want to take that guy's class.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear what that guy's thinking.
Yeah, you know? I would too.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on in his head?
What's the quad? Just the middle of the...
The quad's just like the grass in between the buildings and stuff.
Is it called a quad, or just college is called a quad?
It's called a quad.
Like in between four buildings?
Can a quad be outside of a... college?
I mean, you like if you can call your backyard a quad or something?
I have been. I just want to know if it's correct or not. So all I know about the quad is the Will Ferrell movie, Old School.
Old School? Yeah.
We're running to the quad. Like, that's the only thing I know about the quad. And then I didn't, but then is it, so it's just the, where everybody kind of sits, like when you see a movie about college and they're all sitting in the field.
That's where they are. Yeah. It's just like a little courtyard area between buildings.
Does everybody call it a quad?
We call it a quad.
I thought it was the center of four buildings.
I mean, that's probably what the actual definition of it is. I guess I'd never thought about it before now. Yeah. Just a grass.
So you're not into philosophy that much. Because I'm getting out of the knitting gritty.
You probably had a quad. It was just at the top of that hill, so you never went.
No, yeah. I don't know where our quad was at. We would meet and smoke cigarettes in the parking lot of the Ball State Community College. No, I didn't smoke. But that's the place that you guys want to go smoke some Marlboro Reds over in my car. Yeah, that's what we call it. It was a quad. It was a four-door Honda that we would meet in.
That was the quad.
That was the quad at Ball State. We'd go. You meet at the quad, and we knew, and everybody else would go to this field, and they'd be like, where are they? And we were in the real quad. So when you want to leave philosophy, when did you tell your parents you go do comedy?
I've been doing it probably 6 months. Oh. So,
and they were happy.
Yeah, because I wasn't doing it full time. I had a real job.
Yeah. Oh, but they were just like, fine, you trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes no more sense than being a philosophy major.
Were they fine with that?
Yeah. My dad was a theology major. I mean, it's kind of a thing in our family where you just don't have a practical degree or anything. So they were never that worried
just
about
it. Just trying to keep the dinner conversations fun.
Yeah.
That's all y'all went to college for, just so y'all can come home on the holidays and get in a nice debate.
Yep. Yep. That's what it was
Aristotle
all about.
And
Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Just
y'all are just clapping at each other.
Yeah, we're just throwing stuff at each other, running around. We played kickball yesterday, so that's what we were doing. But you guys would have been, you'd have brought a blanket out and set it on the dirt.
The quad.
Yeah. Philosophy. I don't even know how to get into it.
Well,
because I don't. You know,
I knew nothing about philosophy. It means love of wisdom. That's what it means. I knew the big philosopher. I didn't know anything about him, but I heard of him. Aristotle, which you've quoted on here.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso.
I
don't know why y'all. I at least talked to Ted Lasso.
That's true.
Yeah. Plato's Aristotle ain't doing this podcast, is he? Ted Lasso is.
So this is, there's four branches of philosophy. Do you know that?
No, I mean, I haven't heard it broken down like that. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense.
It's a very good answer to be. I mean, that's a philosophy answer. Yeah. To go, no, I don't think we were breaking it down when we were doing it. Go ahead, Brian. You know, when I took that class, we weren't. I don't think that was being done yet. But
yeah, what did you hear? I'll tell you if that's true. Yeah.
Is it government? Is it the justice system? I'm trying to spitball here. Quad
metaphysics,
yeah,
epistemology.
Epistemology, on, yeah.
All right, do you know what he's talking about now?
Yeah, I've heard of these words.
What's the final two here?
What do you have? You have epistemology
and metaphysics. Yeah,
I don't know. What are the other two?
Axiology, which means ethics.
Okay,
and the last one's logic.
Okay.
Do you know what any of those mean?
I know what all those words mean, but I don't know. I've never heard it broken down like that. Like there are four different types.
But you could tell me what epistemology means.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
That's just how we come to know things, how we knowledge, right?
Like, so like to me, I just learned that right now from him.
Epistemologically.
So he would be my answer for that. They would say what is it?
That's what it means, right?
I mean, the fundamental nature of existence and reality. Yeah. The knowledge and belief.
Yeah.
Sorry, knowledge and belief.
Yeah.
Of where you learn it.
Yeah.
And I learned it here.
How we know what we know.
How we know what we know.
Yeah.
I know it because of him. That would be my answer in that class. Where did you?
How do you know that? You told me.
How do you know? Yeah. That seems like, what if you teach that class and you're like, I am. At the last day, you go, and by the way, I am the whatever the word is. What's the word? I don't know the word.
Epistemology?
Epistemology.
Epistemology.
Is that what the last thing he says before you walk out?
Goes, I am
epistemology. You're done and know that I am your epistemology. Because he is where you learned it.
That's true. Not?
I mean, that... And like the ego on this guy, like he reveals it at the end and you go, oh, you could have just said that at the beginning probably. And he goes, I could have, but I wanted a semester's worth of telling you. And then you always have to say, who's your epistemology guy?
Yeah.
And you go, well.
It's like your exterminator.
You have an epistemology guy.
You got a good guy?
Yeah, he's local.
He's pretty reasonable. Yeah. Do you have an answer to that? Because I think that's a good question.
I kind of lost track of what the question
metaphysics
was.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
I mean, I can explain. Yeah. I can read.
Metaphysics is beyond physics. Meta just means beyond in a way. It's like metaphysics is talking about things that aren't necessarily in the physical world.
That sounds like a Nate answer.
Yeah. So like spirits are just...
Yeah, anything you can't put under a microscope and look at, you know.
It says the
light, energy.
Those are physical things.
I think, don't know, stuff you can't see. Air,
love,
oxygen.
Sure, love sure, be, yeah, sure. Love, well, love would be a metaphysical
that was
thing.
A different
yeah.
way to go. Yeah,
I thought it was a, what'd you say?
Yeah, I said oxygen. I was naming like just
something that doesn't exist.
I was thinking oxygen? Almost small things like.
gravity?
COVID? Yeah. Is COVID a part of it? Like, you
is
can't
COVID
see?
Metaphysical? Yeah. Nah, it's a real thing, man.
Oh, it is?
But these are, so love, but love's a real thing, but so emotion.
Stuff that you can't measure?
Yeah, that stuff that can't be observed and perceived through the senses.
Your conscience?
Yeah.
God.
How about like, right and wrong? That would be a metaphysical thing, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you give us an example?
I just did.
Okay.
Yeah. Right or wrong.
Well, okay.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
All right. Well, let's...
We're not even into it yet.
No, dude.
I'm almost done, to be honest with you.
We're still reading the definition of philosophy.
Nate was about to say, okay, we done? Let's wrap this up.
It's been about an hour and a half, right?
How do you think I feel about this episode right now? Is that described in those words that you just said?
Metaphysically?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so who's the most Plato? Is that the most famous philosopher?
Aristotle, probably, but Plato's
Who would have been more fun?
Yeah,
to be with.
Good question.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question because Plato asks, "You can discover more about a person in an hour of play than in a year of conversation."
An hour of play.
So he's like, you can learn more about a guy on the golf course than hanging out with him for days.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Or Chili's or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never heard that quote before, but I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, you're debating if Plato said it. So, I mean, that's, I think the audacity alone of just going, Aaron, you think Plato was right on that? You're like, no, I think that guy's a quack job. He's a quad job, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And like, it
these are all the smartest people who have ever lived, all these philosophers, I think.
Yeah.
So it's easy to look back at them now, knowing everything we know now about science and technology and stuff, and just think that they're ridiculous. But well, I think they're the smartest people ever.
Ever. Over Albert Einstein.
Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't until pretty recently that we made distinctions between all the sciences. So like when you hear that these guys are philosophers, they were biologists and physicists, they just did everything. It was all just under one umbrella, kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
But the other science is like...
That's like when you did it before they had it broken up into four things. When you were doing it, that's why you didn't know the four things, because you're like, we were kind of doing it all under one thing. Oh, but I guess
that's
now...
Right.
I guess now we're breaking it up even more.
Like, other science is advanced, so researchers are doing different types of science than they did 500 years ago.
Sure.
But is it philosophy? Aren't they debating the same stuff today?
Yeah, there's still a lot of debate about it.
So is there
for
any
sure.
advancement in philosophy? Has anybody figured out some new questions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's still a lot going on in the philosophical world.
Is but it just like, can you hear a tree if it falls in the woods?
There's all kinds of good stuff like
so
that.
So there's guys that are just figuring that question. Like,
I don't know.
More
that's...
like a, we got more riddlers, basically, coming around. That's what philosophy is.
Kids have
riddles.
Some of the best philosophy.
Yeah.
Could God make a rock so big that even he couldn't lift it?
It's paradox.
And so y'all just talk about that for an hour? And then no, what do you bring to the real world after that conversation? That's what
these are the building blocks of everything that we know.
Yeah.
Of all society. These are like fundamental questions that people have been trying to answer for years. So it's like you gotta remember these guys are starting with nothing. We have the benefit of thousands of years of a functioning society. These people are like, let's try to figure everything out. We got nothing.
Yeah.
What if 1,000 years and then you find out the answer is no?
To what?
What do you do then?
To what question?
Any of them.
They all ask yes and
that's
no questions.
The same. Yeah. It's like kind of a question. You're like, no. And then you go, okay.
So let's do, I want to talk about some of those paradoxes that I sent you.
Okay.
So before all of the guys you've heard of, Aristotle, Plato, there's a guy named Parmenides. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, but he was also the name of my World of Warcraft character for a while. Parmenides, the main thing he's known for is he believed that all motion and movement is impossible. So anytime you think something is moving or something is changing, that's just an illusion.
Yeah.
Okay? Is this Zeno?
Yeah. So Zeno created these paradoxes to back Parmenides up.
Okay.
To kind of illustrate the same point. So here's the paradox. It's called the dichotomy paradox, which just means to cut in two. So let's say, Nate, you wanted to reach across the table and slap me in the face.
Yeah.
Okay. Just
are you a mind reader too?
Just wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
In order to do that, you would have to get your hand halfway across this table first, right? Yeah. And in order to get to that point, you would have to get it halfway to that point, a quarter of the way across the table. But before you get it there, you would have to get it halfway to that point, an eighth of the way across the table. You can keep doing that an infinite amount of times. Therefore, it is impossible for you to reach across the table and slap me in the face.
Yeah.
So that's the paradox there. Because to get to any point, you have to first get halfway to that point.
But if my full reach can get to you, I don't care if there's you break it down into all these little lines. You'd be like, well, there's 1,000 lines you got to cross on that table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have the arm length to cross.
Well it certainly looks as if you're doing that. But logically, it's impossible for you to
do it.
Just
test it out and see.
Let's do an experiment.
But it's not if I could hit you.
Yeah, I'm saying what
did he get slapped when he said this? Did that? I mean, that's how much this guy could have been.
People didn't like it, man.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
He goes, so you can't even boom. And he's like, all right, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But logically, how can you explain that? Because you agree with the premises
right.
of this, right? That to get to any point, you have to get halfway there first.
But I know, but if I can reach that, then it doesn't really matter how much you're breaking it down. You can make up a bunch of words that keep going, but halfway here and halfway there. But if the reach is the reach, the reach is the reach.
Okay.
So like if it's going to happen, if it's got the link to do it, you can't talk me out of my reach.
Yeah. Okay. I'm saying it certainly looks like you're doing that, but logically it's impossible for you to do it. So this is all an illusion.
Oh, this is.
Yeah, that's all an illusion.
Yeah. Ooh.
In terms that's we would insane. Understand, is it like when the goal falls on the half-inch line and someone jumps off sides and they say half a distance to go?
Yeah, they keep going half the distance.
You're like, there's
the
nowhere else to go.
Right. Yeah, you just, you zoom in a bunch and you you'd never get there eventually. You'd never get there if you just keep going halfway to the goal.
But if you do get there in real life, then what does the guy say to that?
Certainly appears as if you get there, yeah.
If it appears and you feel when my hand hits your face and you go, it does feel like you hit me. Because then technically I can hit you. And then if I get arrested, I'd be like, well, I didn't hit him.
Yeah, because it's impossible for me to hit him.
And then your boy Zeno. Xerox, your boy Zeno, his tone's going to change when the cops show up. And he goes, he hit me. And you go, but you said I couldn't because of the, tell him. I would say, tell him. Tell the cop what he said. And the cop's sitting there, he goes, he's going to write this down. What'd you say? He goes, I was trying to tell him that half of the he couldn't hit me. And then what do? He hit me. Yeah. But logically, I would go, tell him logically, though. Could I do it logically? And then Zeno goes, well, logically, no, he can't do it. I go, then what are we doing here? And the cop lets me go.
That's who you want as your lawyer right there. You want
to talk about that? I should be a lawyer.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, obviously, I agree with you. But that was... God, thousands of years ago, people were talking about that. So,
yeah,
there's another one. He has another one. If you go outside in your backyard and you drop a grain of rice on the grass, that doesn't make a sound, right? You're not going to hear. But if you drop 1,000 grains of rice on the grass, you will hear that. But how is that possible? Because it's 1,000 zeros doesn't equal anything other than zero. So that's all an illusion too.
But if it's, but if the one grain that you're dropping does make a sound, you just can't hear it. So exactly. The more I stack onto it.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
Did he have anybody to talk to? Like,
this is Aaron's hero.
Could he try out on somebody? Did he have a buddy?
An open mic?
Just someone that goes, what are you, crazy, dude? You're gonna tell the real world this? I mean, I would have crushed it 1,000 years ago.
Was he like a waiter?
But you have
or
the benefit of all these guys' knowledge.
Yes.
And you live now.
Yeah.
Imagine being the first guy to even think about any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
So he worked at Applebee's and he dropped 1,000 grains of rice and he's like, technically, I did nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, back to Plato. Do you guys buy into the theory of his, you can learn more about a
probably
person?
Probably not. Go ahead.
Playing then. Do you learn about people in the golf course that you wouldn't learn in other ways? Probably right and wrong, fairness.
I played. Oh, do I learn about them?
Yeah.
I played with a guy. I believe most people lie about what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think of it working out. I think people tell you they work out, and if you could go see their workout, I bet it wouldn't be working out. Veter, who works out, Gary, did our workout that we've been doing here, and he was like, oh, that's like a real workout. Now I'm working out with a guy that's showing me how. Yeah. But it just shows me that I'm like, but if I asked Gary if he works out, he would tell me he does. And everybody says they do. So I think people say they do a lot more than they do. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes down to just anything. To them, they can do something. They can say, oh, no, I went to the range and hit some balls the other day. And they could have went up there for 10 minutes. But they put out the statement of like, I'm Tiger Woods. I've been up there practicing all day. But they don't go, I barely did anything. I did not accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. But they throw out that they did accomplish anything. And I think that happens a lot. In the golf course, I see it. We played with a guy one day, and I told him to, you know, take another ball, hit another ball. And when I played with you, where I tell you when I say pick the ball up, right, and you say I want to put the ball in the cup. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it is like you're trying to be like, well, I don't want to cheat, but you are going to cheat because when you hit one out of bounds and I say hit another one, you could go okay because you're like, all right, I don't have to count it. You're like, no, so you do cheat. Mm. But then you're going to make me watch you miss five putts from a foot out.
It took a hard turn.
Yeah. No, but like the logic of that is some reason mentally, I played with another guy that was, I was like, just, you're good. I gave him a putt. It's like a 10-foot putt. I gave it to him.
Yeah.
This guy's shooting 150 out there. Yeah. 10 feet. Nah, don't worry about it, man. But they're like, no, I want to hear the ball come in. All right. If you want to putt this, then you've got to pick it up somewhere else. He's already cheating. He's not playing by the rules. He's already kind of like moving the ball around, like you know, hitting a mulligan here and there. So like, if you're gonna cheat, dude, cheat. But like, make it all come together. Like, if you want your hear that ball go in, then I don't know, cheat more up at the top and get to the and then drop at the end. But like, your score doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you getting out here is the objective. The other guy was this guy that told the same thing. It's always someone they go, no, I don't. I told him to take mulligans. I don't take mulligans. I'll play the ball. And I watch this guy in this hole. Ball goes out off to the right. This par three goes off into the just the grass. It's gone, right? He goes, I'll take a mulligan. All right, no, he won't take a mulligan. Goes up there, tries to hit it out of the grass, cannot get it out of the grass, ends up throwing it out of the grass, ends up then chipping it 100 times up onto the green. And then he's just like, well, I'll just pick up. It's a double bogey. You're like, all right. But you're cheating.
Yeah.
So just when I – don't make me feel stupid for trying to give you a shot at the tee. When I go, dude, just do a mulligan, and you act like you're holier than thou. Mm-hmm. But then I watch you cheat within 3 minutes of you acting like you're not this cheater.
Yeah.
Because they will cheat once their back's against the wall and they don't want to – you know, and they hit a bad shot. That's not fun. So once the fun gets taken – then they do it. So I noticed that a lot.
Yeah.
I see that a bunch. It drives me crazy.
And you wouldn't see somebody's character put to the test like that in just a conversation at a restaurant, you know?
No. Yeah. You're so right. You can see that they're like, are they, you know, Felix, who we always, you know, everybody talks about him in this podcast, but like, he's not good at golf and he's working on getting better, but Felix will just, he'll hit a bad shot and then he goes and drops the ball with you at the next shot. Cause that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's not about like, let's all go look for his ball every hole or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
It's like, you're out here, dude. Just come. If you're playing with guys better than you, your score means nothing that day, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now I know people are like, but I want to play for real. Then you go play on your own somewhere else. Yeah. If you're really bad, it's fun to be out there, all of us together, and we can do it, but don't be this.
Don't
sticker.
Hold up the people that are. Yeah.
I played with that. I mean, I watched him play terrible and I tried to give him a putt. He goes, no, we're playing a nice course. I'm going to take it serious. And I was like, I'm not. And I told him, I was like, I can't watch this all day. So you're gonna have to take some stuff. Like they don't, I don't think they know it. Like golf is kind of very loose. It's very, I think people think it's about the rules and it is, if you're playing in a real competitive kind of format, that's why like a match play format's really good. Cause it can just be like, if I beat you on the hole, then you can pick the ball up. Mm-hmm. I know everybody wants to know their score, but if I can already guess your score is going to be well over 100.
Yeah.
Then it's like, just kind of let's, it's also about the hang and don't make it where you hate it. You're going to hate it. If I make you count every stroke, you're going to shoot 150. If I make you count every stroke, that's not fun.
Yeah.
We shared on here a couple weeks ago, our philosophy on life is kind of just not to be noticed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Can we all say that?
Yeah.
And golf is the ultimate place where you and I know we're not going to be great. We just don't want to be so bad that.
Just don't be a liability.
Just get out of the way. Yeah. Just get out of the way. I know you want to hear a ball go in the cup. I get that. Yeah. But it's also like, then putt it twice and hit it before the other person putts. No one cares about that when you're playing. Go hit it twice, get it in the cup, do whatever you want, and then get out of the way. Mm-hmm. But don't be lining this up and like all this kind of crazy stuff. You know, if you got a birdie putt, no one's going to, or legit par, or maybe legit even bogey.
Yeah.
We're going to let you be like, no, take it serious and putt it. But when it's for a 10.
If it's your 10th stroke, it's just like, all right, dude.
Come on.
Relax.
Relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Aristotle and Plato are kind of known as the fathers of Western philosophy. Aristotle, another golf thing here. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not an act, but a habit. So I take that as practice, right?
Yeah. His whole thing was about the goal of life is to live well, living well. He kind of laid out this exact plan of how to live the best life.
Who is this?
This is Aristotle.
So when he says acts,
I said it like is who's like is a comic
character.
What's his name?
This is Alan.
Yeah, where do you go to high school? Go ahead, Ray.
Tanner Newcomb.
Yeah.
So excellence is a habit. Yeah. What does he mean by that?
Just doing something repeatedly,
living your life a certain way and it becomes habit.
Yeah. Yeah. Just doing all the right things.
That makes me think like the 10,000 hour thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the Malcolm Gladwell.
Well, that's how you get like excellence.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that book of 10,000 Hours is great.
Yeah,
like the Beatles, they played. If people don't know it, but the Beatles played at just some bar, I think, or something, for a couple years before people never even heard of them. So, like the hours, I always say that with New York. New York is always.
Do you think you've been on stage for more than 10,000 hours? I guess you start doing hours, then that starts to add up pretty quick.
I mean, you do 100. So if I do 100 dates, it's 100 hours a year on top of you're adding all your extra kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, 100 hours a year, that would be, what would that take? That'd take
10 years to get 1,000.
1,000. Yeah. I mean, that would, so you have to do more than 100 hours a year. I bet it's your 10,000 hours. I don't feel like it's exact. It means it doesn't necessarily mean exactly 10,000 hours.
I know. I was just curious.
But it's, I think that's why New York was so good is I always say New York, it's like dog years. So it's like you just are, if you meet a 2-year comic from somewhere else, you're, you know, what, a 7-year comic, like or whatever, or what is it, 9 years, 7 years old.
14.
Yeah, you're just end up being, not necessarily, but you just end up being a lot more because I'm going up every single night, multiple times a night, even if it's for 10 minutes here and there or whatever it is, and the time gets more and more. Yeah, you just get, You just say stuff so much, and you're in front of people so much. You're so much, I mean, even though most of your life is not in front of people, most of your life, our professional life, is just all in front of people. It's just talking to people.
Yeah.
And so you just get really good at knowing how to now do that. And you learn how to, all the words I can't say, I know how to learn to not use those. Like, you learn all these little things that go, well, I can't do that. And then you figure out other ways, and, you know. Mm-hmm.
Socrates, another one of the big fathers of Western philosophy.
How do these guys get so smart?
Yeah.
Well, they're
just born smart. Did they go to school? Did they go?
Yeah, they devoted their whole life to this.
Yeah.
And they're also just by chance, like, the smartest people ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
but was there like college and stuff? Like, were they going to?
Well, these guys set up, Plato set up one of the first.
The first
institution of higher learning. And they would just get all these dudes together and just be like, let's just figure stuff out. Let's just sit around and think.
You think you'd be offended that there's Plato?
Wait, what?
That you play with Plato, kids play with Plato? he would, if he was there and you go, Plato, and he goes, yes, and you go, no, right behind you. Could you hand me that Plato right there? And he's like, all right. And then does no one want to ask me any questions? And you go, I don't know, we're playing with Plato. It's a little more fun than whatever nonsense you're going to yell at me.
Oh, I've never made that connection between the two of them.
Well, it's spelled differently. That's probably why.
I know, but it's so funny.
You are too high on your high horse.
Yeah, we learned that.
You don't get a seat.
We learned that last week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was probably wrong.
It was wrong.
Oh, yeah, according to Alan.
Yeah.
We'll talk
Alan
about it.
Alan is my Wikipedia.
I wonder how they found each other, these smart guys. You know, like, you know, Socrates.
Were they just in the same area?
Three towns over.
These are all ancient Greeks, these three. Aristotle, Plato, and...
Socrates,
yeah.
Do they
taught each other, too.
What's the years? Are they like...
This is like
400 BC.
Yeah.
Socrates was first, and then I believe he taught Plato, and then Plato taught Aristotle.
Yeah.
And Aristotle briefly taught Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
For a little while, it was like a famous pupil.
That's what made him great, right?
Yes. Yeah. Talk about the other names are so good. And then he's like, what's your name? He goes, Alexander the Great. And you go, all right. So I'm Aristotle, right? And that's Plato. That's Socrates. You see what I mean? Like, it's kind of like a thing. And he goes, so like, what do you want to be? And he goes, I'm Alexander the Great. And he goes, okay.
No, Alex.
The least creative
Alex,
dickhead.
Can I talk to you for a second over
Alex.
Here? What are we doing here? All right.
Ow. Come on.
Ow. We all have these kind of, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of fun names.
Pope Greg. Come on.
Pope Greg. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Was Aristotle, was his real name?
Yeah, these are all Greek names.
Ari?
Know. Yeah.
Did he go by Ari?
He might have gone
by Ari.
What
did his mom call him?
Aristotle.
Yeah.
That's Greek?
Yeah. Come to dinner. Aristotle. Yeah. Something like that.
He said, Mom, are we even eating this dinner? And she slapped him across
the
table.
But what is this dinner?
What is this?
What dinner? Is a table?
What is a table?
That's the stuff I really like about Aristotle, of just the question of like, what is stuff? Like this table. All right.
Yeah.
This table. What makes this table a table? What are some of the properties of this table? It's made out of wood, right? It's a wooden table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it were not made out of wood, if this were steel, would it still be a table?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not the woodenness that makes this a table.
Yeah.
What tomorrow, is this still going to be a table?
I don't know.
That's another question. Yeah. Was this a table last week?
I mean, people have complained about it.
The table?
Yeah. I might break it after talking about
it. But it's not a function of time, right? It's not a function of time that makes this a table.
Yeah.
And what if we pick this up and move this in the other room?
What if it's just
it would still be a table.
Yeah, but what if we said that it's just a word we're using because we put our stuff on it, so we don't have to do this every time. What if you told Aristotle that, and he goes, so is it a table? I go, I know, but like us, we're trying to live a life, dude. And like, so I can't, when it's like, you know, I got four kids, I'm like, your breakfast is on the table. I can't then.
What is the table?
We can't miss school again because we're going, what is a table?
Look, well, that's why all these guys did this for us, so we don't have to do it all.
Were they single guys?
Well, look, they were doing weird stuff back then, so I don't want to.
Yeah. That's another.
There's a lot going on.
That's Aaron. That's
yeah. That's, might be weird to you.
You might want to hear that episode on Batesville, where uncensored and he gets after it.
But the point is,
let me expletives fly.
Yeah.
The point is that the essence of this is a table. Aristotle would say that it has the essence of a table, and all these other things are just, he called them accidental properties of it. This is like revolutionary stuff at the time. To like, what is a thing? Is it just a collection of all these different properties?
Yeah. Or there's no answer.
I mean, there's debate about what's the right way to think about stuff.
Yeah.
There's still debate about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're debating about, you know, taxes and stuff now. They mm-hmm. were debating about a table.
Well, when's a human really a human?
Yeah. Well, what? Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. So big questions, man.
What's the answer?
It's a lot.
Aaron Land?
Yeah. Yeah, save for the Patreon episode.
Aristotle's, like, his, if he's not married, his girlfriend, every girlfriend was just like, like, I mean, just a lot of just that, because it's just like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, these guys might have been insufferable to be around.
Oh, it might have been brutal.
But I think they just,
but you know, they were,
Plato had these symposiums where they just sit around and just lively discussion. They just talk like this. That's like their whole
existence.
So they
were about the same age?
Yeah, well, Plato is before, it was like Aristotle was like the generation after Plato.
They taught each other.
Socrates was first.
Socrates was the first guy. Yeah.
Would they have all met? Or were they?
I don't know if Socrates ever met Aristotle, but definitely.
So their connection to them was,
yeah,
they were.
Yeah.
How long did they live back then? Like,
they would live till like their 40s. Yeah. I think Plato lived till he was 80, but like Aristotle lived till he was like in his 40s.
You think Aristotle felt bad that he had no pupils that we even like? They were rolling.
Well, he had Alexander the Great.
Oh, yeah. He had Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Alex.
Yeah, but the fact that the chain ended right there.
Yeah.
And there was no famous philosopher after him. But he also inspired, I mean, thousands of years of philosophers all talked about Aristotle.
Plato sitting there and he goes, so who are you going to use as your pupil? He's like, he's a good guy. I don't, you know, I see a lot of stuff in him. He goes, yeah, but just tell me a little bit about him. And he goes, I don't know, man. He's not the theme that you might want, but I think it's like good for us to go outside the box. And he goes, yeah, dude, no judgment at all. Like, what's his name? Alexander the Great. And you go, oh, you call him that? He goes, no, no, no. He made that name up himself. He came up with him, Alexander the Great. And he's like, and then he plays like, what's that noise? It's like, it's him. He's stomping up the stairs right now. He's about to barrel in here. And he's going to call you weak and probably some other words.
Yeah.
And then
the maestro. St. Thomas Aquinas. Aaron sent me these notes. Widely considered the most important Christian thinker of all time. I would say Jesus, but Aaron feels like this guy is. Okay.
No, above Jesus.
Wow. Okay, Aaron. If that's what you think. He developed the five proofs of the existence of God. What are those?
Well, I can't remember them off the top of my head. The first mover, that's the first one. These are like logical proofs or arguments. The first mover would be, for anything to be set in motion, it has to be set in motion by something else, right? And then that thing must have been set in motion by someone else. And then you trace that all the way back to infinity.
Right.
Eventually, there has to be something that moves something without being moved by somebody else. The first mover. And then that's God.
Yeah, I've always felt like the kid argument holds up of the people who argue the Big Bang. Well, then who created that?
Right.
You know.
Right. That's ultimately what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who did the first thing?
Right.
Something that didn't need to be moved by something else.
Yeah.
There was, I know, I just listened to, because it was Louis C.K.'s, they were playing it on the radio, Sirius. That was a new special. He had a whole thing about God. And just one thing that was really funny was he said God could really, with a 5-minute press conference, he could clear up just so many things. God just came down, just 5 minutes, dude. Just pop up and just say, hey, just let everybody know, how you doing? I'm here. Like, and he goes, and then it's, and then it'd be good.
Yeah,
very funny.
That's a great bit.
Rene Descartes?
Descartes.
Descartes.
Rene Descartes.
Got some extra letters that he didn't need.
No, he's French.
Oh, I thought it was a woman.
Father of modern, I feel like everybody's the father of
modern. He's the father of modern philosophy.
He has the most famous quote in the history of mankind.
I think. I think it is.
You think, oh, you, that's not a true statement.
That's Aaron. Statement. That's my editorialization of it, for
that's
sure.
That's so funny. So you put on there the most famous quote of all time?
Yeah.
What is it, Nate?
That's just your idea of what you think is the most famous
quote. I'd like to hear what you think is a more famous quote than cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore, I am.
I think, therefore, I am.
I mean, you've heard that before, yeah. Right?
Right,
I mean,
now.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't think of a more, I would say maybe... One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. I can't think of another quote.
You had me at hello, Jerry Maguire.
That is a great
cowabunga. That,
yeah. May the force be with you.
I mean, yeah, that's up there, I guess. But
right. I think, therefore, I am.
I think, therefore, I am.
Which means what?
So Rene Descartes, he wrote these a series of.
Oh, I know who that is. What'd you say his name was?
Rene Descartes?
Yeah. I mean, I think I've heard that way.
Rene
that
Descartes.
Just, you're like, oh, that's the same
person.
He wrote these things. Like,
go, how you doing, ma'am? I'm a guy. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Rene.
Go ahead, Rene.
They're called meditations. And he just set out to, what do I know for sure? Mm. What do I know is real? It's like those infomercials. You're like, forget everything you know about mattresses, you know, or whatever. He was like, forget everything I know about everything. Let's start all the way over. So let's just remove everything I think is real. And then what can I build back piece by piece? So eventually he got all the way down to, how do I know that I am a real thing? And he's trying to anticipate every rebuttal to this. He's like, what if it's a demon deceiving me? But eventually he concludes, like, the fact that I'm here asking this question means that I definitely exist, because there's a doubter, there's a questioner, and it's, I think, therefore, I am. That's where it comes
from.
This should be good.
I mean, where do you get these quotes at? Like, how do they get, does he just sitting at a table at, you know, dinner, and then he's just
this
like
guy lived eating? Alone, believe it or not.
Yeah. His mailman comes over and he goes, hey, Fred, how you doing? He goes, yeah, how are you doing? He goes, well, I think, therefore, I am. So, and he kind of, and then just looks at him, just looks at the phone and just see his reaction. And then he's just already back in the truck. And he's like, all right, I'll try again. Like, he's just trying to, I mean, just anybody walk, you know, I'll take a piece of gum. I think, how's the weather today? I think, therefore, I am. Yeah. And then always just stares at him to see if it's catching on.
See if it hits.
So stands up.
Yeah.
Like, he's just slowly just kind of throwing it out.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it was wrote in his, he wrote it.
He wrote it, but literally it was a thought exercise. Let me go into this dark room.
Yeah.
And just like,
I think that's making
money.
What
do I know for sure? A lot of them didn't make a lot of money, but I think back then a lot of these guys were like subsidized by whatever kingdom they lived in or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So they had food and stuff.
Yeah. I think they were teachers too. So they could make some money doing that.
Would they go out? Would they hang out?
Descartes doesn't sound like a fun dude to hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, cause he's just doubting everything. Like, how do we know that that's real? But I don't know. I don't know how much these didn't feel like normal guys. I feel like they were more like the professor I had riding his bike in a figure eight.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette, kinda, talking to himself. Yeah. They're just so burdened by, so smart that it's like debilitating, I think.
They could almost be a homeless person in the street now. Like, you could, they could talk themselves into getting into that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part with crazy people in the street is, you know, some of them are doing some good stuff, but you gotta get through, you gotta mine through it to find. Some of them are gonna stab you in the heart with a pencil. And some are really good at what they talk about.
It's like a comedy open mic. There's going to be a couple of geniuses in there, a bunch of crazies.
Uh-huh. And some people.
I would say 100 years of open mic.
Right, yeah, you're right.
Like every open mic we go to, you're like, there's a couple of geniuses.
But don't you at an open mic where you're like, they're a crazy person, like, this is like so close to being genius.
Yeah.
It's like right there if they just tweaked something.
Yeah.
You know?
Baruch Spinoza?
Yeah, Spinoza.
Oh, it feels like you had a little beef with him.
Spinoza.
Sounds like it was a comic.
Spinoza. What happened with Spinoza?
Spinoza was crazy, man. He believed in something called substance monism, which means
this is a clean show, Aaron.
Yes, which means there's only one. Like, if you had to guess how many different things there are in the universe, What would you guess?
It would be endless, right?
Yeah. 60. Yeah. He thinks all of there's only one thing. It's God is the only one substance, and we're all just modes or attributes of God, like wrinkles in a carpet. Like, you wouldn't call a wrinkle in a carpet its own thing. It's just a wrinkle in the large carpet. So you think there's only one thing.
A lot of podcasts. I mean, just a lot of podcasts.
Too many.
Talking wrinkle over wrinkle.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Wrinkle Podcast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just God and the rest of us are just...
We're just... Side effects.
But.
Yeah. God, the language is so tricky with some of this stuff. Yeah. Can't remember if it's modes or attributes, but we're all just, if you think like
that. I like the wrinkle description better.
Wrinkle one's good.
Than the other word.
But if you think God by definition is something that's all over and everywhere, then how can there be something that's not part of him? You know, if he's everywhere and in everything, Then is he in this cup, you know?
Philosophers talk to the most people that are trailing off than any human possible. Like, is their whole existence, do you think that that's why they talk to each other? Because everybody else just kind of trails off?
That's a good point, because a lot of this is just like, we just know this from letters to each other where they're arguing about it. They're not like, these aren't famous, like, let's go out in the town square and everybody's like, man, these guys are super interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're not really, a lot of them.
Yeah, what is philosophy, what does it like solve? Like, what does it bring to the world? Just like us thinking about stuff? Like, it's just
it's everything. I mean, we're benefiting from all of this stuff having been argued and discussed, because we have thousands of years of people. But like laws and concepts and definitions and what are things and how that this is, they're all figuring this out before anybody was able to. That's all it is. So understanding like the building blocks of civilization, really.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I could be a philosopher.
I think you could actually, man. I think
you feel you like do. You need, yeah, you got to have just kind of a.
So last week you were a lawyer. And this week,
I can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's like you're just overthinking.
Yeah.
Your brain's got to go 24/7, doesn't ever cut off.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Like comedy, a lot of comedians and philosophers, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So your philosophy on comedy is, you've said this, whenever you get comfortable, it's time to move.
Mm-hmm.
That's my philosophy as well. That's why I've always lived here. Yeah. But you got that from someone else, but that's a good philosophy on life. That's your, and you hold to that, right?
Yeah. Anytime you start feeling comfortable, it's time to make a change.
But would that be considered a philosophy?
No, sure.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Okay.
It's a rule to live by.
All right. I want to ask you about a couple of these famous quotes. God is dead, Friedrich Nietzsche.
Yeah.
I looked this up. He didn't literally mean God has died.
Right.
He meant humankind, civilization. We've kind of killed the concept of God. Is that right?
Yeah. Because he said that God was just an explanation for things that we couldn't understand as a society. Mm-hmm. We just said, oh, that's God. And he said, now we know enough that we no longer need that. So God is dead.
Hmm.
And that's, yeah.
When was that?
I don't know. This is like Nietzsche was. 1600s, maybe 1700s.
Was he a painter?
Oh, was it Nietzsche?
No.
Nietzsche.
Was he a painter?
Nietzsche.
No, wait,
Nietzsche.
There's a Nietzsche painting.
Yeah, that's Nietzsche.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Bob this is Nietzsche?
late 1800s, this guy lived.
Okay.
So in 1900, God said, Nietzsche's dead.
Hmm. What'd you say was late 1800s? Oh.
He also said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
I thought that was Kanye. Nietzsche said that?
Yep.
You really thought it was Kanye?
Oh, he's in that song.
Yeah. He said that in that song.
You know what song I'm talking about?
I thought that was Katy Perry.
What doesn't kill you makes you... Oh, man, maybe it is Katy Perry. I thought Kanye had a song that was like, working better, make us stronger, weaker. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about?
And then he made that up.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which means anything in life you go through with struggles just makes you a stronger person.
Yeah.
Wasn't invented until 2008. from Kanye West.
You think he knew he was quoting Nietzsche when he wrote that song?
Yeah. I think he's, Kanye could be a philosopher, right? He's kind of this out thought, kind of thinks kind of crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, out on his own, like does his own thing.
Ask him what this table is, dude.
Yeah.
See what he's got.
And then would be like, it's table's nothing. But do they ever just go, it's a table?
Yeah.
Do they?
These, it is a table.
Do these philosophers have, do they call Talkspace.com and go talk to a therapist and they go, I know, Frank, but it's a table and we're sitting here with it.
Right.
And you need to wrap your head around that. And he goes, but what's our head? And
but if you saw a bunch of different furniture, you could group all the tables together, right? Even though they all look differently.
Yeah.
So it's like, what is tableness then?
It's a bunch of them all together.
I know, but what are the similarities between all the tables? How do you know they're all the same kind of thing?
I think because of their purpose.
It's interesting.
It's not.
That's a good point, dude.
Yeah, I'd have blown his world up. Yeah, dude. I'd have blown his.
I would love to see you go toe to toe with Aristotle. Yeah, dude.
I go, no, it's his purpose, you idiot. Now go to bed. Blow your candle out, and then he goes. And it's just barely lighting him up on his side. It's not like a candle's a big light. Ari, I've been trying to get some sleep.
Ari,
Stottle.
Stottle.
The big stoaster.
Stody.
Hit the sack. what was I going to say? I thought about, I remember, I was trying to do this as a joke. Maybe it ever comes a joke. But we had Easter yesterday, so the Easter Bunny came. And then I remember one time trying to find something, hide something. And I think my parents said, look behind a chair. And I remember being 12 years old, and I thought about chair so much that I forgot what a chair was.
Mm.
And so I couldn't. I was like looking behind like the lamp table and almost everything but a chair. Because I like almost thought about that word too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't. Then I kind of forgot what it was. Yeah. I was like, "What is it? Like, I don't even know what this thing is." And you can't just ask what a chair is.
That's a great question.
You told me a philosophy one time. I think it's a philosophy. You can tell me when you were doing the having claustrophobia.
Yeah.
And we're getting on a plane, and then you said you could start thinking about tight spaces, and then your mind kept leading you to the whole world is a tight space.
Oh, I get claustrophobic in the world, in the universe. I can make myself get to that point.
Isn't that kind of philosophy, or is that just crazy?
That just sounds like a problem, dude. Oh. I mean, I guess I don't know.
Yeah, but you're the. All right. It's I can with claustrophobia. You could say if I'm on this plane, right, and it's the no control. I can't leave this thing right now. I want to leave right now. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't leave that. And then so when I do get off the plane, what if I'm like. I don't want to be around. I don't want to be in this room. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in this neighborhood. I don't want to be. Mm. It can technically keep going. I can only go so far. So it's the fact that like there's a limit to it. So I can't get space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's like so. It's like Earth could feel like I don't want to be here, which I'm borderline probably. Why you should call talk. I mean, this is the ad for talkspace.com/Nate. I mean, but it's like you can. Now, I tell myself, if I do start feeling too much of that, I can say, well, I can go run to California. And it's like, that almost like calms it down because you're like, that's so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But I could run to California. Mm. But I mean, but then you're essentially trapped on America. I can't get to another, there's the ocean. Like you can't, and then you're on a boat. Now I'm really trapped in this boat.
Oof.
Like you could technically have yourself, all you are is kind of trapped everywhere mm-hmm. you go. You're just whatever you're in is trapped. I mean, dude,
it's a tough way to look at the world, man.
As a philosopher,
I just go from cage to cage, living life.
But it's
yeah,
you don't understand what me and Aristotle.
You're just not deep enough, Aaron.
Yeah, you're not deep enough that you can. They that would be essentially the table talk. Yeah. Maybe I'm the next modern philosopher, the
father of modern philosophy. Because
apparently, you can just keep doing that forever. Because that's what we're learning today.
Everybody's the father.
Everybody goes, so this guy, what did he do? And then you just make up a...
He was the father of epistemology.
I need one type quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just need one quote.
Come up with it right now.
A quote?
Mm-hmm.
end all be
doing Latin. Well, your jokes are quotes.
Bumbleum. Yeah.
You've had some wise.
You have had some wise ones.
I think, I mean, to get off topic here, but your joke about peanut allergies, there's so many comedians that have had jokes making fun of kids with peanut allergies. It's an easy target, but you wisely took it the other direction. And I think that's a good way to look at it in comedy.
Yeah.
Because essentially,
right,
you're attacking kids for something that's not their fault.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. To just have an angle that nobody else is taking.
Yeah. And a more positive one.
And then the broader, I've heard you talk about just using words that nobody else is using. Or saying things in a way.
I don't know words.
But saying things in a way that other people.
I don't think if you don't talk like regular people, then that's a problem. Especially with what we do. I notice when comics use big words on stage, and I just go, I find a hard time believe that in your normal conversation. If I'm trying to just talk to you and be your, like when I'm on stage, my job is to, you're supposed to be very relatable.
Yeah.
My job is to be like, it's just us hanging out in a room or you're watching a special. It's like, that's what people liked about this podcast. It feels like they're a part of it. They feel like they're in the room with us.
Yeah.
Because we're using words. The words are all that matter. That's all that. Us saying this stuff, words are all that matter.
There it is, dude.
Write it down. My pen's out of ink. God,
words are all that matter.
You guys get this?
Words are all that matter.
But I've heard you say that because you're clean, that forces you to use words that a dirty comedian or the guy that curses, they're actually using a fewer words than you would use because you're.
Now I say so, I started saying so and like so is kind of like I don't think bad, but I'll say like and like is something that you can. It's a rhythm of how you talk and how you say it, and you know it's when you're telling these stories on stage, there's a song kind of to it. Like there's you know you're kind of going through it. It's pretty fun, you know. Yeah.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Ooh. Who said that? Mark Twain?
I think my uncle.
Frank Borghese?
Frank Borghese. Yeah. I think my Frank Borghese say that all the time. You tell me who wrote that down there?
Lao Tzu, who's attributed to, but it was really Frank Borghese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lao Tzu?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. That's probably not even close how you say it.
I've never heard of that guy.
Oh.
How do you spell it? Go ahead. That's a lie.
But does that.
It's a lousy way to say lousy.
That's a lousy pronunciation.
That's the lousiest way I've ever heard anyone say his name. I think that just means if you want to lose 100 pounds, you got to start with 1 pound, right? You got to get going.
But if you want to start with 1 pound, you first have to lose half a pound.
Here we go.
And then if you want to lose
half a pound.
Therefore, it is impossible to lose weight, as we've seen.
Sugar's back in and we're not doing it.
It ain't how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Yogi Berra.
Mike Tyson.
Rocky Balboa.
Mm. Oh.
You guys both jumped on that, though. I thought I was going to make y'all think it's Aristotle. But
I think the ain't kind of gave it away that it wasn't it wasn't an ancient Greek philosopher.
If the kitchen ain't working, out, like, I don't know what some old saying is like. If their fire ain't in the kitchen, don't come cooking. Who knows what he's saying?
The fact that I didn't even notice that probably shows.
ain't.
Go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you imagined.
Ain't a word. I ain't gonna use it. What is our ain't thing we always say on here?
I heard that growing up. Ain't a word, and I ain't gonna use it.
That's, I said something one time that ain't gonna do it.
Ain't gonna do it.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something. It wasn't as good the second time.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Is Wayne Gretzky?
It's Wayne Gretzky.
That's a good one. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's just it's great, but it's also not true.
Why?
Because you don't miss them because you didn't take the shot.
So it's not great then.
But then you didn't do anything in life. So what if he's going? Well, I'm literally talking about hockey.
And you, probably was.
And you guys,
you guys made this into a bigger thing
to go like. You know, I'm not talking about at McDonald's, like if you don't take all your shots. And he's like, I was talking about shooting. Someone asked me, what about shooting a shot? And he goes, if you don't mean 100% of the shots, you miss them. I don't know.
He was on a roll for a while.
That's next after words are all that matter.
Words are all that matter. That's how we communicate with each other.
That is true. Oh, that's a great point.
The harder you work, the more luck you have.
Mm.
The harder you work, the more luck you have. Yeah. Mm. How is it? That's like an opportunity thing too. Is like a kind of put yourself. You're ready for this opportunity.
Yeah.
So you make yourself good enough to be ready for when the opportunity comes. You go, yeah, I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
I always remember one Mike Vecchione would always say that always stuck with me, like comedy ones. You got to get the nose out of the way. And Vecchione told me that, and I've basically lived by that.
Yeah.
You get told no. I've been told no. I mean, we talked about, I think, this before. But, I mean, how many no's I get told is so many. You only hear about the yeses.
And that goes all the way back to barking when you're just trying to get inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have goals. I don't have a catchy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Words matter.
Yeah, words matter.
You know.
We can't put that in. That's really all words matter. And everybody's like, oh, God. It's like... We end up just going down a dark road, like just being like, I don't know, dude, we're just having fun on there.
Yeah. All words. Well,
you just can't.
All words matter. You know,
they're going to do that and show the, what do we make fun of the Middle Ages? I don't know.
All Roland the Farter?
No.
Oh. let's see. You know what the happiest animal in the world is? It's a goldfish. It's got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish.
Wow. Well, we don't.
Was that Ted Lasso?
That was Ted Lasso. Yeah.
Was it really?
What? Yeah.
You're about to Ted rip Lasso. It.
You're like, oh, that's so stupid.
That's great.
Oh, man.
And I would have been wrong, because that's a great... That's the philosopher of this podcast. It's Ted Lasso.
The father of...
podcast philosophy. Yeah, exactly.
I'll do one more. Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Michael Scott.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great quote. All right.
All right. You want to wrap it up with a couple of philosophical questions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one. If freedom is simply being able to do what you want, are animals freer than humans?
Mm.
All right. Hold on. I gotta get my stuff. What is it now? Say it again.
If freedom is simply being able to do what you want, are animals freer than humans?
That's
freedom.
Assuming you believe in free will, which a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So animals would be freer.
They're in the wild, right? Because they don't have any laws to live by.
But they have to watch out for getting eaten by another animal. So I would say not every animal, right? Is that not it?
Yeah. That's a great answer, I think.
Free to die, I guess.
Better than the answer I have.
What was your answer?
I didn't have one.
He just rambled on like most philosophers do until someone goes, oh, that's good.
Well, what is an animal, dude? Yeah. Let's dig down.
That's just an answer that goes, no. He goes, I know, but we got to go. We got to get out of here. I have a reservation at 7 o'clock.
I was just listening to a clip from an old podcast where you were like, listen, this is interesting, but I mean, people are listening right now.
On here?
No, yeah, on this one episode a while ago.
Like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. It
was the Old West or something.
Yeah. That's my quote. This is interesting, but people are listening.
It might have been Middle Ages. I don't remember.
So are animals more freer than us?
That's the question.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Because, I mean, a hyena just run around in Africa. Just doesn't. Mm. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants to.
He doesn't have to wear a mask.
Doesn't get a job. And they just have to hunt their food. But they have to go get their food, you know. But, yeah, they don't have the problems with, you know. They don't have to start a podcast.
But. Do they actually have freedom though? They don't have rational minds. They're just reacting to stimuli and just they're like machines, dude. You know?
Yeah, does a machine have freedom?
No.
Yeah, because it needs to. But no, machines.
I said that so confidently.
A machine has to be turned on by a human.
Right.
An animal doesn't have to rely on someone else to get going. Mm-hmm. They have to catch food. They have to, but like they're, you know, they can go. Like they're not mm-hmm. having to be, you know, I don't, as a human, you could be, if you learned how to live off the grid, those people are probably freer than animals.
Sure.
But yeah. We might not be freer than animals, but mm-hmm. those people are.
Mm. They're all good points.
Yeah. At least bring something to this table.
This guy's a philosopher. All right. We'll do one more. This table. Would the world be a better place or a worse place if everyone looked the same?
Well, you would think worse because it's like this. You tell it doesn't, you know, it's the everybody's unique, and that's what's so great. If we were not unique, I don't think it would be.
No one's a lot of problems.
I think it would take love out of the whatever. See, I don't know the words, but.
Equation?
Yeah, equation. I was gonna say.
So you love Laura just because of the looks?
Yeah, it's a big part of it. But I think if everyone's the same, what would you love? Like
you have to love the actual person.
Well, this is just looking the same. We're not all like.
He just said look the same.
Yeah, but I mean, love not like, I guess not dating, but I mean like we would just be. Like murder would probably not matter. Like if you're everything would be desensitized. Like I don't know if you don't see different. If you see everybody's the same, if the same thing gets taken away from you, and there's 1,000 of the same thing, yeah. And you look, oh, there's 1,000 more of the exact same thing, you would not miss stuff because you'd be like, you're not seeing different people. Like it feels, it's just a sea of the same people.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Wouldn't personalize it as much.
Because yeah, if you're, it's just like, it doesn't, they're all, if everybody looked, if it was 1,000 yous, what does it matter if you exist, if I have 1,000 of you there?
But I'm not just unique because of the way I look. I think differently. I have a unique identity.
Well, you better
identity.
Get that personality out. You better be wearing a fun rainbow pin or something before you get mowed
but
down.
But is the argument that if everybody looked the same, then you differentiate people based on what they believe and how they think and, you know,
I mean,
the content of the character.
I think you'd have it would just be
a nightmare.
It would be, you would not, I mean.
What do we all look like? That's a better question. They all look like me?
But how many personalities, you know, when you see.
This worse then.
How many people's personalities do you actually really get to see? No, nobody's people's personality. Outside of your, like, people that you know immediately.
Yeah.
But I would think we would be under so much control for some reason. Some reason I feel that's an army. That's like we're just under.
You think if the three of us came in looking the exact same one day, they'd be able to tell who we were?
I think when they would laugh, they would know it's me. And then when they would obviously.
Would my face still look worried?
Yeah.
Would I look exactly the same except a worried face?
When they could feel that, they go, but that guy feels like he's. Worried, I'm not going to guess something right, so I bet that's Brian. And then you're sitting up there with your hat on and a jacket. And then everybody's like, well, that's obviously Aaron. Like, he's got his NASCAR jacket on. That's...
I mean, penguins all look the same, right?
Yeah.
And they...
Yeah.
Don't they mate for life?
Yeah, but they're not doing great, man.
Yeah.
It's not... doesn't so look that fun being...
You gotta wear a suit every
being
day?
Being a penguin.
I feel like throughout history, a lot of the problems we've had is because people look different.
I agree.
Yeah, our religion, probably a big part.
Yep.
Like, all words matter, dude.
We all look different. I think believing in different gods, I think, caused a bit of a tiff out in the tilt. But yeah, I'm sure it's because we all look different. That's what... I mean, core beliefs are the reason countries, the worlds are fighting. And yeah, but that group's taller than the other group. And we'll write that down for a quote.
We're done as soon as he gets to laughing.
Yeah. He'll be, this will start the next podcast. So I guess. Did we do enough time?
We did a lot. Yeah. I feel like we covered thousands of years of intellectual thought. So
yeah.
I mean, I can keep going.
What are we at?
About hour 40?
Yeah.
Hour 37?
Yeah. Is that, I don't know. I mean, now that I stopped it like this, is there one? Is there another good one to get off on?
Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
So no.
Yes. The answer is
no. We're done. No.
Whether you think you can, what?
Or you think you can't. Either way, you're going to be right. It's basically saying you got to have confidence.
Mm. Oh, I thought it'd be like it was what a loser says. Well, why don't you do it? Well, I either can do it or I can't do it, but either way, I'm going to be right. All right, well, then sit here, dude. Then sit here. That's what... Who's quoted that? Was that a teenager living with his mom?
Who was that?
A 40-year-old in the basement of his mom's house?
Do you have that attributed to anybody?
Yeah, Henry Ford.
What did he ever do?
Here's one from Confucius.
That sounds like a quote from a guy that would be like, what'd you do? I built for trucks. And you're like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that quote does make sense.
You want one from Confucius?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our greatest glory is not never falling, but in rising every time we fall. That's kind of like the Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
See, but I always think with the, I guess it is like, if it gets the philosophy of it. To me, it's like always like these words to like, I think like I like it's like, what does that matter? Mm-hmm. Like, you still got to go do stuff. You still got to like actually, as a person, go, you could go change someone's life. I think people get very behind their words and they think, I did this good. If you're Aristotle, I get if you're these think guys that are mm-hmm. the smartest people alive,
yeah,
or have ever lived. But then I think we got a problem now where I think everybody thinks all it is about is coming up with the best way to say something. Yeah. And then they go, there you go.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a bunch of
that. Even if it's not profound at all, just the catchiest way
to say it. It's just the catchiest way to say it. Yeah. And someone goes, wow, that's a great point. And then they go, this is back to my golf thing. And then they go, well, that is a great point. That's a great point. None of them live... None of them live by these.
Just give us the wrap.
That's my microwave. Yeah. Sorry.
Is Aaron
making a snack?
Aaron Lands. I think they're taking calls now. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Caleb on line one.
They but like everybody just says all this stuff to each other, and no one actually does anything. So if you just keep going like, wow, that's clever, that's clever, that's good,
yeah.
But you're not actually physically changing someone, then nothing changes.
Yeah.
And so like, who cares? If it's that guy saying it and we're doing it to that point, but I mean, you look at Twitter, all Twitter is just people trying to say clever things.
Yeah.
And it's essentially like all of these kind of like, you know, everybody's a philosopher on Twitter, and but they don't actually do anything because they think, well, I did do something. I wrote a sentence together. That's pretty fun.
Yeah. But words are all that matter.
But really? But it is true.
But it is.
Words are all that matter. So that goes against even my thing. And that's what's the hard part about words all that matter is you can really get through it pretty quickly. But if you want to use words are all that matter as your slogan, when someone says that doesn't make sense, you go, but does it? You always just question, do the table nonsense that Aaron was doing. You word get real philosophy on them and just go, oh, ask me, words are all that matter. Try to debunk it. I'll give you an example.
Words are all that matter?
Words are all that matter. Like you.
Okay, so you're presenting that as a words are all that matter?
Words are all that. I walk into a party, dinner party, words are all that matter. I'm doing it. You know.
How do you know that?
Because I know that. How do you not know that?
Yeah, you idiot.
Nothing else matters?
Nothing else. Words are all that matter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So all you do, you don't do anything other than words?
The words are the things that I'm doing.
He just worded the sentence differently.
I mean, that's all these guys have been doing all day. Is they word? What is a table? You're just saying, well, I don't know. What is a table? Like, if you don't think about it.
I think he stumped you.
It's bulletproof. You can't get through it. Words are all that matter.
Okay. I agree.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, me and my wife would like you to leave. All right. Sorry, I have COVID, everybody. No. Last joke. That was it. Is that?
I got one more that Aaron submitted.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
This is from Immanuel.
First time caller, long time listener.
Immanuel Kant.
Yeah.
If everyone in the world did exactly what you did, what kind of world would that be? Would it be a desirable world to live in?
Yeah, this is like the categorical imperative. how do you decide if something's right or wrong? Yeah, like you have to imagine if everybody in the world did that thing. That's how you know if something's right or wrong.
Oh, oh, okay. Yeah. See, so why didn't she just say it like that?
Yeah, what's her problem?
Yeah. Is that, how's that guy? Did you say Emmanuel?
Yeah.
A lot of, why a did lot Eleanor, of lady names. If
why
you
did
don't
Eleanor Roosevelt say that?
I mean, I'm sorry, Renee, Emmanuel, Janet. I thought all these were. I'm sorry, I misread the situation. Is there a Janet philosopher?
Not that I know of.
There should be.
What's the answer, by the way?
It was.
What do you mean?
Solve it?
Well, I think I.
Well, it depends on what you do. If I punch you in the face, do I want everybody in the world just go around punching everybody in the face?
Oh, everybody or Brian?
Oh, everybody yeah. punching Brian?
Yeah.
That's different.
Now it's different.
Now we get on board with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want everybody punching in the face.
Yeah.
I know, but that's like, but okay. All right. All right. That's it. Philosophy.
We did it.
We did it. Y'all go see the title of this one and be like, yeah, but
here we go.
Next week is the Nate Land Live podcast. So we will put out, we will have a regular podcast and then we will record the live one. Next week, we do it, which we'll talk about it next week. All right. Thank you, everybody. What are y'all doing? Me and Brian are at, Stardome this weekend.
Yeah.
And you're doing,
I'm at the Grand Ole Opry this weekend on the 10th.
Yeah.
April 10th.
Yeah.
And then
my club dates are gone. Miami Improv could use some help down there. It's a tough market to get into.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week. Bye. Thanks everybody for listening to the Nate Land Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, you know, wherever you listen to your podcast. And please remember to leave us a rating or a comment. Nate Land is produced by me, Nate Bargatze, and my wife, Laura, on the All Things Comedy Network. Recording and editing for the show is done by Genovations Consulting in partnership with Center Street Media. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to catch us next week on the Nate Land Podcast.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.